Warm greetings, everyone, in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And a very warm welcome to each and every one of you to Truth BP Church, to this Gospel Night. And today, what we want to consider as the topic of our consideration is, how can I have eternal life? Now, men throughout history have had always a sense of eternity, right, or of life after death. And that is why we see in various cultures, in various countries all around the world, men seem to have a sense that there is something that will happen after death, that death is not the end, that there is life after death. But why is this the case? Well, the Bible gives us the reason. The Bible tells us that God has placed in the heart of every man the sense of eternity. And that is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. That the sense of eternity is placed in the heart of every man. And that is why when we look in the world today, we see that man understands that there is life after death. That death is not the end. That there is something that awaits us after death, that there is an account to be made after we leave this world. And the Bible tells us of what happens after death, the reality of life after death. And so that is why today we see in the world around us that men fear death. Why do men fear death? In fact, this truth that men fear death is also contained in Scripture. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 2 that men are under the bondage of the fear of death. That the fear of death grips every man on this earth. Why? Why are men so fearful of death? Well, it is because man knows that death is not the end. Man knows that there is something that awaits them after death, and yet they do not know what it is. But the blessed and amazing thing is that the Bible tells us what happens after death. The Bible reveals to us the reality of what happens after death. Because for us, we will not know what happens after death until we die. But after we die, it will be too late. For someone, or for us to know what happens after death, well, we need someone to tell us, someone who has died and has experienced what has happened after death, but yet still lives again to tell us what happens after death. And the amazing thing is that that person is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word of God that we have before us are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And from this word, we will see what happens after death and how we can have eternal life. The fear of death may be presently gripping your heart. You may not know what will happen after you die, and because of that, you fear even thinking about death. And in fact, this fear has driven many people all around the world to run as far away from death as possible. And we know in history, Emperor Qin, right, Qin Shi Huang, how he sought the elixir of life, how he feared death because he knew that, well, he could not live forever. And he sought a way out. How can he live forever? He created armies in terracotta, right, so that he would have armies to be with him in the afterlife. He knew that his death was awaiting him, and he sought a way out, but of course, alas, he still died. In our present time, I'm not sure if you are aware of our present day Qin Shi Huang, right, there's a man called Brian Johnson, right, who is trying to live forever. He's trying to never die, right? He has a protocol of, if you follow this protocol is called don't die. Right, so you take all the vitamins, all the supplements, you optimize your sleep, you exercise, and then his hope is that he will never die. Well, we know that one day, he will still die. Even if not by health complications, we know that death can still come in so many different ways, by accident, by the evil of man. There are so many things that are unknown to us that can bring about death. And so what is the solution? How can we avoid death? How can we have eternal life? Can we even avoid death and live forever? Is it even a possibility? Well, the Bible tells us that it is. There is a way out. There is a way out of death. There is a way to obtain eternal life. But before we can speak about eternal life, we must first speak about death. Because unless we discuss death, then there is no use, no reason for us to think about life. Right? Unless we say that, or unless we explain what death is and the reality of death, it's useless to us to talk about eternal life. And so first we must consider the need for eternal life. Why is there a need? Why are we even asking this question? How can I have eternal life? Well, it is because of the presence of death, as we have discussed. Death is no respecter of persons. Whether you are rich or poor, whether you are old or young, whether you are wise or foolish, death will come upon all. No man in this world can ever on their own escape death. And this was the reality also for Lazarus. Well, I hope that you are following along as we read from God's word just now. Right, that Lazarus, in this account, he died. He had to face with death. Lazarus was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at one point in time in his life, he fell sick. He fell very sick unto death. And he died. And so even for Lazarus, he also had to face with death. All of us will have to face with death. But why? Why is it that death is so ubiquitous? Why is it that death is a reality for everyone in the world? What is the reason? The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. What that means is that the reason why men die is because of sin. The wages, the penalty, the payment for sin is death. And because death is a reality in all of mankind, therefore we can conclude that all of mankind have sinned. The reason why we die, the reason why we do not live forever, is because of sin. And the Bible tells us what sin is. Sin is that which we do that is against God, that is against His holy character. Sin is that which we do that is the breaking of His commandments. We all are very familiar with laws and commandments. Singapore is a fine city, right? Why is it a fine city? Because every little thing also fine, right? Fine $500, fine $5,000, right? So it's a fine city. And we know what laws are, and when we break the law, well, there is a punishment, there is a penalty. In this case, we're not just talking about the laws of a land, or laws of Singapore, or laws of America, or any other country. We are speaking of a universal law that God has established that all of mankind have broken. I have broken His law. All of us here have broken His law. God in His laws says that we should not, that we must not have any other gods, any other idols other than Him, before Him, in front of Him. That means God is the only one whom we ought to worship. But how idolatrous our hearts are, how frequently we run after the things of this world. Money as our idol, health as our idol, relationships as our idols, or even physical, actual idols of other religions. We have broken this law. The Bible tells us that the law of God says that thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. In other words, you must not lie. But how many of us here have never told a lie? I believe if you raise your hand, right, that will be a lie. Because all of us have lied against God, have sinned against the Lord. And because we have lied, because we have sinned, because we have done all these wicked things against God, the Bible tells us that thou shalt not kill. We must not murder. And when we are angry with someone in our hearts, the Bible says that is already a breaking of the commandment. And I'm sure that all of us have gotten angry at one point or another with someone, right, sinfully. And so if that is the case, right, just as we know, as the laws of this land are always enforced, right, that the laws of this land, if they are not enforced, then they are not laws at all. Then how much more the laws of God? Because God is a just God. God is a God who will not leave sin unpunished. And so if God is to be just, then what that means is that sin has to be punished. If a judge doesn't punish, doesn't give the penalty for the crime that has been committed. If someone comes before him who has committed murder, he says, oh, it's okay, just he gets to walk away scot-free. What kind of a judge is this? He's a corrupt judge. He's an unjust judge. And because God is just, God is holy, well, he is not unjust, he gives what sin deserves. And that is why the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. The penalty of sin is death. And the reason why no man in this world can escape death is because all of us have sinned against God. And you must understand this truth. You must come to this understanding that you have sinned against God. I have sinned against God. And the Bible tells us that the result of sin is not just death that we leave this world, but that we now find ourselves in the lake of fire for all eternity, facing the just justice for our sins. Because we sin against a holy God, an infinite God, an eternal God, therefore the punishment must be eternal. And so for all of us, know that as death is a reality in this world, death is not the end. What comes after death is the judgment. What comes after death is the punishment, the justice that God will mete out because of our sins. No man in this world is sinless, and therefore all men must die. And right here, as I stand before you, I stand before you not as someone who is better than you. I am a dying man preaching to dying men. All of us here will have to face with death. And we must really face up to it. We must think about it. Do not put out this idea of death far from you. The reason why you are gathered here is not by chance. God has brought you into our midst to consider this important topic of death. To think about your life. To think about where you will go after this life. And it's not by chance. And so, prayerfully, I urge you to consider your death. Because death is the equalizer that will fall upon all men one day. And so then, begs the question, is there a way out? Knowing that all of us stand to die, and not only to die, but to suffer eternally in the lake of fire, where it is a place of pain, a place of unending pain and suffering for all of eternity without any respite. Is there a way out? Is there a way out from death? Well, the Bible tells us that there is a way out. And what is this way out? It is eternal life. And the Bible says in verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There is a way out from death. And the way out, right, first, how can we know the way to eternal life? Well, we must go to the source. Who is the source of eternal life? Who is the one who can give us eternal life? Because we know that we by ourselves, we cannot unsin our sins. Right, the sins that we have done, we cannot take them back. When we have broken God's laws, we have broken them. Right, we cannot say that I unbreak God's laws. Right, just as in our context, right, in Singapore, you cannot say, I break a law, but then, okay, policemen come, I unbreak the law. No, there's no such thing. When you've broken the law, you have sinned. And that is final. And so there's nothing that we can do to get ourselves out of that. And so for us to have eternal life, someone else must give us eternal life. Eternal life must come from something external of us, foreign to us. Or as theologians say, alien to us. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why Jesus said unto Martha, when Jesus knew of Lazarus' death, and he came to meet with the family, Martha being Lazarus' sister. Lazarus' sister, Martha, was grieving, was in mourning, and Jesus told her that her brother will rise again. And if you were to read on to the rest of this chapter, you will see that Lazarus rises from the dead, because the Lord Jesus Christ caused Lazarus to rise again from the dead. Right? But what we want to see here first is how the Lord Jesus Christ explained to Martha who he was, that he was the source of eternal life. And he says here, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, before we go to I am the resurrection and the life, I do not want to skip over the first few words of this verse, because they are equally important. The Bible here says, Jesus said unto her. Jesus, well, as with our names, right, names have meanings. Why was Jesus called Jesus? Because Jesus means Savior. Jesus said unto her. Who is this Jesus? Jesus is the Savior, the one who can save us from death. Jesus is the one who came from God to provide us a way out from eternal damnation. He is the one. He is the solution. He is the Savior. You see, you only need a Savior if you need to be saved from something. If you do not need to be saved from anything, then you do not need a Savior. But the reality is that all of us need to be saved from death, because death will fall upon all of us. And so if death falls upon all of us, then we all need a Savior. And the only Savior that can save us is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He says, I am the resurrection and the life. When Jesus here says, I am, it is significant because in the book of John, there are 7 I am statements made by the Lord Jesus Christ. And these I am statements are not just, you know, things that he just says in passing. But these I am statements are significant because they point to the reality of who Jesus is, that he is God. In the Old Testament, God was revealed to the Israelites and he told them that his name was I am that I am. And if you were to think about it, what is I am that I am? It describes him as the self-existent God. He is, meaning that no one has created him. He is, meaning that he was there from all eternity. He is, meaning that from him all life consists. He is, I am that I am. No man caused God to be, for that would not make him God anymore. Because God is supreme. God is all existent. God is self-sufficient. God is the I am that I am. And so Jesus here says that I am the resurrection and the life. And so Jesus was claiming himself to be God, because he was truly God. Jesus was fully, truly God. He came to this earth, and that's where we remember Christmas, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came as a man, but as he came as a man, he did not lose his divinity. He was truly God and truly man in his entirety. And at the same time also, as he lived on this earth, being truly and fully human, he experienced the things that we experience in our lives. But because he was God, the Bible tells us that unlike us, we who are sinners, we break God's commandments. And just one commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. All of us already have broken it. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, what was different? Because he was truly and fully God, he had no sin. He did not break one command of God. And that is why he was the righteous one. The only person in the entire world that did not deserve death is the Lord Jesus Christ. And because remember, the wages of sin is death. What comes about because of sin is death. And if a person has never sinned, then he never deserves death. Just as how if a person has never broken the law, then you will not ask him to pay the penalty. But in this case, the Lord Jesus Christ truly did not break any law of God. And so he was not deserving of death. But yet, the Bible tells us. He lived a perfect and righteous life, but yet he was crucified on the cross. Why? Why did he have to die? Not because of his sins, but because he loved you and he desired to die in your place. We deserve the death. We deserve to pay the penalty of our sins. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago for what purpose? So that he could die in your place. He could take your place to die. But even as he had died, the Bible here tells us that he is the resurrection and the life. On the third day after his death, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. He lived again. And when he rose again from the dead, what that means is that he had conquered death. He did not deserve to die, and because of his righteous life that he had lived, he died, but he rose again from the dead. And when he rose again from the dead, he defeated death, he conquered death, and therefore, he is the only one who has the right to give life. And that is why he is called not only the resurrection, but also the life. He, in himself, has the power of resurrection. Because he raised himself from the dead. He had power to put down his life, and he had power to take his life back. That is what the Bible tells us. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, having this power of resurrection, this power of life, to give life, to breathe life into death. Well, he is the source of eternal life. He is the only one who is able to help us to escape death. And the way that he helps us to escape death is not by ignoring our sins. Right? Remember, how can a judge be just if he closes one eye? Right? He sweeps our offenses under the carpet. Right? Then that would not be a just judge. But then how then can the judge pardon the criminal? Well, in this case, the Lord tells us how. When the Lord Jesus Christ took death upon him, he took the penalty for us, so much so that our sins did not go unpunished. They were punished upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as if you were caught in speeding, for example, and then you have to pay fines. And let's say you do not have enough money to pay the fine. But you are now convicted of this crime. Right? You have broken the law. You have to pay the fine. But now someone comes along and pays the fine for you. Right? The judge is still just. Right? He has punished the crime. Right? And when the judge now receives the fines, or the state receives the fines, and what happens is that the judge won't say, that, oh, no, no, no. I received those, but you also still need to pay, right? There's no double jeopardy, meaning that the crime is not punished twice. And so, if we understand that in terms of our human laws and systems, this is exactly what happened. And when the Lord Jesus Christ died, he took your place. The death that you deserve, the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself. So much so that he is both just and also the justifier. He justifies you and cleanses you from your sins. He makes the way out. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the source of life. And you must believe. You must see that he is truly who he says he is. Jesus is not a mythical character. Jesus literally walked on this earth some 2,000 years ago. He actually lived a life. He actually died on the cross. And he actually rose again from the dead. And now he's ascended up into heaven, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He is real. He is true. He is living. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the source of life. And he did all this. Why? He didn't need to come down to earth. But he did all that because he loved you and he desires to save you. But just because Jesus has died on the cross, just because Jesus has paid the penalty for sin, does it mean that the whole world were received of this blessing of forgiveness? Well, of course not. Then how? How can we receive of this eternal life? If we know that we need eternal life, if we know that now Jesus is the only source of eternal life, then how? How do we receive it? Well, the Bible tells us, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says that the only way by which we can obtain eternal life is by believing in Jesus. It is by repenting of our sins, turning away from sin, knowing that this is the penalty of sin. This is the result of my sin before God. I have sinned against the most holy God, my Creator. I have to give an account to Him. And if I stand alone by myself before this God, I will be eternally condemned. But yet at the same time, I understand that He has loved me and He has given me a provision out of my sins, out of the punishment for my sins, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you believe in Him, and believing doesn't mean that you simply mentally assent to Him, that you just agree that yes, 2,000 years ago there was this man, he lived, and then he died and rose again, and he has nothing to do with me, doesn't change my life, it doesn't affect me in any way, I just receive it as fact. Well, believing is not that. The believing here describes a full trust and assurance in who the Lord Jesus Christ is. It is a yielding of your life to the reality of who Jesus is, submitting yourselves to Him, banking your whole entire life on what He says, on Him, on how He promises to save you. That is what believing is. It's just like if I tell you, if I say that I believe that this building is on fire, right? If I say I believe that this building is on fire and I just continue to stand here and I talk to you and I say I mentally assent, I agree that this building is on fire. Hey, do I really believe that this building is on fire? Of course not. Because if I do, what will I do? I will run out. Right? I will call the ambulance, the fire brigade. Right? That's what I would do. If I truly believe. And so believing is not just saying that we believe. But if this is really a reality, if the Lord Jesus Christ has indeed risen from the dead, and He has, then it must change the way that we live. If you truly believe what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, that you are now redeemed, that now your death has been taken away from you. And the Bible tells us that if you ask God to save you through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, yielding your entire life to Him, knowing that your life is no longer your own. I deserve death. I was saved from the eternal death penalty, and my life belongs to You. If you can yield your life to the Lord in such a prayer, well, the Lord promises that He will save you. He will deliver death from you, and He will give you eternal life. And though in this life, we will still have to die in the sense that we will have to leave this world, but the death is very different. And that is why, when the Lord Jesus Christ says here, though He were dead, yet shall He live. Meaning that even though a person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ may die, like in the case of Lazarus. Right, remember Lazarus, he died. Right, but when he died, his death was not unto eternal damnation. Right, the death of Lazarus, it was not a death unto eternal damnation because Lazarus believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why in the Bible, the death of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is not described as death, but described as sleep. Right? Just now you read earlier, right, in verse 11. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. The death of believers is not seen as death because it is no longer that which brings you to eternal condemnation, but it is seen as sleep because when you are absent from the body, immediately you awake in the presence of God. It's seen as sleep because when your body goes to the ground, your soul goes to heaven, and there will come a day whereby the Lord will raise your body up and change it and to give it a glorious body. And combine it once again, reunited with your soul, whereby you will be eternally with God, both body and soul, forever and ever. And that is the reality for every Christian. And that is why Jesus says that death is abolished. Yes, death for an unbeliever is most fearful, is most fearsome. Because what is the end? Eternal condemnation in the lake of fire. But death for the believer is not now something dreadful or fearful. Death for the believer now is something joyful and blissful. Because we know that when we leave this world, we know that what will come in the future, we know what will come after this, is not damnation, but joy, bliss, eternal happiness in the very presence of God, the one who has saved us, the one who has loved us. That is great joy. And that is why for the believer, though he were dead, he may die, but yet he will live. Immediately, once he leaves this world, we will find ourselves in the presence of God. This is how you can have eternal life. You do not need to fear what will come after death. If you have truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not need to fear death anymore. You are no longer under the bondage of death. The fear of death that has driven you all your years, knowing that a sword hangs over your head, knowing that you will one day have to give an account of all the sins that you have committed against God, the conscience that has been pricking your soul, all can be free. You can be freed when you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. You can be freed when you yield yourself to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. If you do not believe, if you reject it, if you try to dismiss this truth that you know in your soul is a reality by saying that, oh, this is just what the Bible says, this may be true for you, but it's not true for me, it may be good for you, but not good for me, but you know in the depths of your soul that this is the truth, because God has made it true. God has revealed it to you in your hearts. And if you were still to deny, if you were still to explain these things away because you do not want to deal with your sins, then know that only death awaits you. Eternal life is given to those who want it. If you do not want eternal life, if you wish to continue on in sin, hold on to your sin and end up in eternal death, then that is what awaits you. But if you know that that is the reality and you do not want to find yourself in such a place of eternal suffering for your sins against a holy God, then God gives you the way of escape. And the way of escape is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved you enough to do that for you. Will you not love Him too? He sacrificed all that. He sacrificed even of His own life just so that you can have eternal life. And all you have to do is not to do some good work or do some amount of charity or donate some amount of money in order for you to be saved. But the only thing that you need to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Yield yourself completely to Christ. See His loveliness and what He has done for you. Believe in it and live by it. The Lord promises that all those who will believe in Him shall have eternal life. And so the question that remains is, will you have eternal life? You can have eternal life, but now the ball is in your court, as it were. Will you have it? It's your decision to make. But I plead with you that you would make a decision, that you would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is hindering you? What on earth, what on this earth is hindering you? Is it family? Is it your pursuits? Is it your job? Is it money? Is it the enjoyments of this world? Are any of these things valuable as compared to your soul, whereby you will be eternally damned forever and ever? But the Bible tells us that, what does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world but lose your soul? So do not lose your soul. Today can be the day of salvation. Today can be the day that you experience eternal life. And so turn to the Lord, repent of your sins, believe in Him, and today you will find Him, the resurrection and the life. And that is your hope, that when you die, this is where you will be going. And you can have full assurance that you will see the one who has saved you, the one who has gave Himself in your place to deliver you from sin, from death, from hell. And so I pray that you will not delay. Eternal life is for you right now. Receive it by faith. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee that the Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And we thank Thee that because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done to earn our salvation, that we can escape the penalty of our sins, which is death and hell, and can be granted eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Father, we thank Thee for Thy word that has revealed to us this reality and how Jesus displayed His power of resurrection in raising Lazarus from the dead and also raising Himself from the dead. And so we thank Thee, Lord, for how through the Lord Jesus Christ we can have eternal life. And so we pray for all here, especially for those who have not yet believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, or who may only profess or say that they believe and yet not truly believe in their hearts. We pray that Thy Spirit will work mightily in such a heart to turn them, to yield themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ in believing what He has done for them. And we pray that Thou will send Thy Spirit to work the work of regeneration among us here gathered this evening. May Thy will be done. We thank Thee once again for the great salvation that Thou hast shown towards us, for Thy great love that You have showered upon us in granting us the way of salvation. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.